you have your Bibles, just before we get started, I wanted to, I think it's a great thing to honor marriages, marriage is under attack today, and so I wanted to just say a quick word. Congratulations to Larry and Jill Harvey this morning for their 51st wedding anniversary. It's not yet, she told me. It's tonight at 7, okay? So that's great. Congratulations. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's also great to see Abby Otaru with her little one here today. It's good to have her with us today. And I think this is one of the first times we've seen her, right? Pretty close. She's doing well. And one of our 46 little children that's been born in the last couple of months, and we're grateful to have her today. Go by and get a chance to take a look. I think it's $1 a look. I think it's something like that. I want to draw your attention to this passage today. Back in this day in Israel, the Syrian army, Ben-Hadad, had surrounded the city. And what they do in this day, they would just surround the city and let nothing go out, nothing go in, till finally people reach the point of starvation, and they would come out and surrender. And thereby, you didn't have to fight a lot. Didn't have to lose any men. But it took a long time to do that. Had to be very patient. Ben-Hadad was one of those kinds of Syrian leaders that was very patient. A very strong king. Just put a camp outside and wait. So all the soldiers would bring all their stuff and all their, and they would just camp out. And they would have somebody on guard and make sure no one got out, nobody got in, no one got out to warn somebody or to go pay some other country to come help them. And so they would just starve them to death. Well, it got to the point in this city where a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. Now, if you remember, Jesus was sold for 30. So they were starving. Everybody was starving. Got to the point where they were boiling their own children. It was awful. But they were to go out, it was certain death. Or imprisonment. They didn't know what to do. Well, there are some lepers. I want you to notice, if you would, chapter 7. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. Now, when you notice, they felt trouble and difficulty. Leprous men and women are outcasts. I want you to notice a few things about them. Number one, they have a horrible disease that kills them. It eats away at the flesh. It is an awful thing. Leprosy is still today in certain parts of Africa. Went on a missions trip to India, and there was a member of the church that his particular type of leprosy was not transferable, and he sat in church and you could just hardly tell he was a human being. Leprosy is an awful thing. Well, these four men had leprosy, and in Israel's day, a leper, because it was so feared, they were always removed from everyone. They were always outcasts. So they were outside the city. You'll notice they were outside the gate. The gate was closed, let nobody in. They were outside the city. Now, Ben-Hadad didn't want the lepers, so he didn't attack them. So these four were outside the city. We don't know if they were four or 14 or 50. We don't know how many. But in Israel, they just had their own camp outside. They were mistreated. They had some reasons to be bitter. They didn't have much money. They had to work for themselves. They would have to find a piece of land that somebody would let them use, and they would work together to try to build a garden so they had something to eat, because sometimes a family would come out and give them stuff, but they'd leave a certain place. They'd have to go get it. They couldn't touch each other. They could never kiss your wife goodbye again. Couldn't hold your children again. was an awful thing. It was a difficulty so awful that they would put a rag around their mouth and they would have to say, unclean, unclean, every time they came close to a person. It was required. So if you could imagine the, oh, there's a leper. Oh, oh, get away from me. The feeling of rejection. I want you to understand, these four lepers had no hope. Now, all of us in this room were sort of like these lepers in the sense that, now, we don't walk around saying, unclean, unclean. But if God were in the room, we're all unclean. Unless we've been saved by the grace of Christ, we're unclean. He even compares leprosy to sin sometimes. It's such a separator. Did you know the Bible says God cannot be around sin? He can't even look on sin. Do you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? It's about noontime. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Does anybody remember what happened? The Bible says that from 12 to 3, it went totally dark. So God didn't have to see His Son and the sin that was on His back, yours and mine. And there was one other thing that happened. Do you remember what it was? Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn His back on His own Son. That's how much He hates sin. Now, these lepers had every reason in the world to hate everybody in the world because nobody was good to them. They were outcasts. And so one day, they're outside the city. And they decided, you know, they're not going to let us in the city. And they're all dying in there. And if we sit here, we're going to starve to death. Because we got no help. So let's go to the Syrians and throw ourselves on the Syrians. The worst they can do is kill us, but maybe they'll imprison us and we'll get to eat. Notice the wording in verse number three. Why sit we here until we die? If we say, verse 4, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. What a choice in life. None of us at this point had to make that decision. But there are people around the world that do. So these four lepers, they go up toward the Syrian camp. And it's a ways outside. And it says twilight. Hebrew word for twilight can mean either evening, just as the sun's gone down, or early morning as the sun's coming up. I believe it was early evening. And it's just twilight in the evening, sun setting. So they're going to go and so maybe the Syrians can't see how bad their leprosy is. So they're going to go into the camp. And as they go in, they begin to notice there are clothing laid around and stuff. The closer they get to camp and things are kind of disheveled and strewn all over the place. They said, what in the world's going on? And I don't know what their names were. But John and Bob and Tom and Bill all talked to each other. I don't know, John, Bill, I don't know what this is. And they got close to the camp and they said, hello? No answer. So they started looking around and one of them saw a beautiful Syrian robe. He said, nobody's around. I'm going to get that robe, Bill. Okay, and he runs over and grabs the robe. And keep in mind, their clothes are hand-me-downs, and they're worn out, and they're filthy. And so he's got a brand-new, beautiful Syrian robe, and wow. And Bob says, There's one for me. And they go over and get it. And so during the night, while everybody in the city's starving to death, you know what they're doing? They grab a couple of clothes and all of a sudden they see food cooked. So they sit down by the campfire. Bob says to Tom, "Hey, it's the best chicken I've ever had. Man, good stuff. We didn't have to work for this, man. You know, something's happened. There's nobody in the camp. Look at this whole camp. It's ours." So they had gone from being in desperate, difficult situation. They found great treasure. They went from great trial to great treasure. So they're sitting around and they're eating and man, one they eat one chicken and get another chicken, and pretty soon then there's a lamb, they get another lamb, and boy, I mean, they're just chowing down, and hey, look at this, look over here, hey, here's a filet over here, come over here. Boy, they're eating food, I mean, back and forth. And there's drink all over the place, and they're drinking stuff, and they're just having the party time of their life. And notice, look if you would, in verse number 8. "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent to eat and drink." So they go into the tent, and they sit down, and they're eating, and they're drinking, and they're partying, and having a good time. They're enjoying themselves. It's the first time in my life I've been able to enjoy myself since I got leprosy, man. Tom, me too. Bob, me too, man. Isn't this wonderful? It's like all our lives we've been mistreated, and now all of a sudden we got it all. And so then one of them looks over and he says, "There's a bag of silver over there. I'm getting that." And he grabs it. He said, "This is mine." The other guy says, "I see another one over there, and it's mine." So then they started taking the clothes and the silver and the money and hiding it. Now, that's the dumbest thing in the world. There's nobody in there but those four. But that's human nature. You get something, you get a lot of something, and you get greedy and you hang on to it. And so they went and hid it. And one hid it in one place, and one hid it in another place. And then they looked at each other and said, "Yeah, I found some stuff while ago." "Yeah, me too, Bob. Yeah, me too, Tom. Yeah, and I, you know, I got to go over here to this tent over here and check, see if anybody in there." He went looking around. There's some more money. And there's another robe. And they went from tent to tent to tent during the whole night, while everybody in the town is starving. And as they're going through and all, notice if you would, verse 8. "They did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it." Now, you know what? So in one fell swoop, one night they got full bellies, plenty of food to eat, food everywhere. They got money everywhere. They got clothes and everything that nobody's got. And we have to understand. The other day you go look at your closet and see, you start to count up your shirts, like you're going to take them to the cleaners, or you're going to throw them in the wash. You look at, all of a sudden you look at it and say, "Wow, where did I get all those shirts? Where did I get all those pants?" I got a shoe rack thing that hangs on the bar, and it's got little slots for shoes. And so I look, all those slots are filled. Where did I get all those shoes? I mean, tennis shoes, dress shoes, black shoes, brown shoes, no white shoes, brown shoes. Ladies, any of you got the same problem? Don't say anything. And so as you look through, and then all of a sudden, I got this dress and this dress and this blouse and this thing, and I got a suit over here. And this morning I walked into my closet and I said, "Which suit am I going to wear? Let's see. I wore that one 6 weeks ago. I wore that one 5 weeks ago." Let me ask you a question. Any ladies here ever seen someone come in the same dress you just bought? It hits your heart and you say, oh, why'd they get that dress? That's my dress. Anybody ever had that thought? Don't raise your hand. That's the same suit I got on. Wonder how much he paid for that. Thoughts. These guys, they got rich between twilight to twilight. They forgot about everybody in the world but themselves. And then apparently Bob turned to Tom, or Tom turned to Bob. And their names weren't Bob, Tom, I promise you that. And so Bob says, you know what? Conviction hit his heart. We're not doing the right thing here. And he used a term, he says, we do not well. We were in great difficulty and trouble, and we got reason to blame the whole world. And now we've got great treasure, and now we're filthy rich, and we've got everything our hearts could desire, and the leprosy doesn't matter anymore. And then one of them said, notice if you would in verse 9, then they said one to another, they're really good guys. We do not well. Now I want you to notice, they forgot about themselves for just a moment and tried to help others. And they started doing well. Now, I want you to notice, they said three things. One, this is a day of good news. Do you understand? This is a day of good news for the whole world. Do you understand that the world is lost? That 80-90% of the people of this world are lost without Christ, without a Savior. This is a day of good news. And you know what? We sit down and we eat and drink and we've got money and we forget to tell the world. We do not well. We're just like the lepers. The only difference is, we had leprosy and we got cured. That's the difference. We had leprosy, we got cured, and we got rich all in the same day. Bang! Jesus walked in, forgave us of our sin, said, I have an inheritance laid up for you in heaven. Anybody know what an inheritance is? It's something you didn't earn. It's laid aside for you. That somebody else labored and sweated for, and they prepared it for you. And Jesus himself said, I have an inheritance laid up in heaven for you. I'm just wondering, if we realize who we are and what we have, if we're doing well. I'm reminded, let me read it to you, 1 Peter chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Blessed be the Lord God and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. Every person in this room that's trusted Christ as Savior, you're rich. It's a day to go tell people, I'm rich in Christ. I want you to know you can be rich in Christ too. So these four guys, can you imagine what happened when they said to each other, we do not well. Notice what his words were. Look here. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, of good news. Notice this, and we hold our peace. Now, they didn't look at each other and say, let's not go tell them. They just got lost in their abundance. They just got lost in their two-car garages. They just got lost on their decks grilling out. They just got lost and forgot there was good news. I do this, and I'm ashamed. I'm a preacher. They said, this is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Now, it doesn't matter if you mean to hold your peace. It doesn't say, we decided we're not telling them. They didn't do that. But you know what happened? Listen very carefully. They got a little selfish. They saw clothes and gold and silver, and they started hoarding it and burying it in the ground and hiding it. You know, folks, I don't say much about money, but I want to tell you this. You ought to invest your money in heavenly things and not spend it all on stuff here. Because there are people around this world that will not hear the gospel unless we send a missionary to them. And we've got missionaries calling us all the time, and I would love to be able to send them money to the mission field. But I can't do it. Now, we're just one church, but we could do more. I went and looked back and I said, you know, I ought to increase my mission giving. I got too many shirts. I got too many pairs of shoes. I got too many ties. I have a little thing this morning. I got a little machine that you push the button and it goes. And it's got all my ties on it. How many of you got something like that? You know what I'm saying? Because they would just take up that much room if I did it. So I push the button and it goes. And I'm sitting there watching. Oh, there it is. I pulled it out. I grabbed my ties this morning. Amongst the other 50 ties. Anybody knows how much ties are today? How much are ties? If you got a tie at Walmart, it's $20. I don't even know if Walmart sells ties. But if they do, it's $15-$20. There are ties. The other day I went in and I bought a new shirt. Well, I'll tell you why I bought a new shirt. I left all my shirts and I was speaking someplace and I had nothing but T-shirts. So I figured it'd be okay if I bought a new shirt. So I bought some new shirts and I had to buy a new tie. And I go, did you know they wanted $100 for one of those ties? I said, I don't want the whole rack. I just want that one. Oh, no, it's silk. And I said, I don't care. It's Hart, Schaffner, and Marx. I don't care who wrote it or wrote on it or made it. I just want one tie. And I went and looked at all my, and I just, oh, wow. Look at that. I got too many ties. We all, if we're not careful, we get a little greedy. We do not well. And notice then there was an urgency. If we wait till the morning, something bad is going to happen. Now, you know what? If you and I wait till the morning, something bad is going to happen to both of us and to them. They're going to miss heaven. And we're going to stand before God and try to give an excuse for all them stinking ties that I got in my closet. And all my shirts and all my shoes. So I'm on a spending moratorium. No more spending. My wife's not, but I am on the moratorium. Okay? So yeah, I'm not going to buy anything else for a while. I'm just going to enjoy what I got. And I'm reminded, I got to do something now. So I go check my pockets, and we got tracks. Now everybody expects me to pass out tracks, because I'm a pastor. But you know what? The same people that stand before you at 7-Eleven, they need the word too. Now they don't have to read it. They can throw it in the trash. But they cannot stand before God and say, no one cared for my soul enough to tell me. I'm free. They looked at each other and says, we do not well. Now, I want to draw your attention. Then they went into the city. Now, can you imagine what it was like when they went into the city? They were saying, hey! Hey, it's us lepers, Bob, Tom, and they started naming their names. Yeah, what? Waking everybody up. Because it was twilight the next morning. They took the whole night before it dawned on them. We don't do well. How long will it take us to figure that out? Hey! Pretty soon one of them says, what? Get down. The camp is empty. What do you mean the camp is empty? That's just a trick. No, it's not. We went through the whole camp. So the king said, let one guy go out there and ride around and see. And wouldn't you like to have been that guy? I mean, go get on a horse and go see if it's empty. Okay, king. As he rides his horse around, sure enough, it's empty. And he comes right back. Empty! It's empty! And then everybody started running out the gates. And they started running into the camps and eating food. And you know what? Now listen very carefully. I want you to get another lesson here. And I'll bet you nobody said to the lepers, oh, thank you for telling me. It's okay. Because doing right doesn't need thank yous. Doing right is what Christians do because they have a love for their Savior. I noticed three things we can do well at. One, even in great trials, we don't have to get bitter or mean-spirited. They didn't. They didn't hold it against the city that they were outcasts. They didn't hold it against the city that the doors were locked, the gates were locked, and they were on the outside and were not permitted in. None of us are like that. But maybe there's been some difficulties for you. I'll tell you a little story today, this week. I got so upset this week. Probably about as upset as I've gotten in a long, long time. It took me a whole afternoon to get calmed back down in my spirit. Didn't curse anybody, didn't yell at anybody, took a witness, but I was so upset. We have check signers at our church. We have a bank, a new bank, and the new bank has got four check signers. Now, at our church, it's really different. The check signers are people that are important, but they're not people that have anything to do with the money. Brother Brian, what do you do? Teacher. What do you teach? He teaches math. Brother Dave, what do? Okay. Let's see. Miss Carrie, are you here? Miss Carrie? She's in Spanish church. She's our Spanish teacher. And there's one more. I forget who the other one. Brother Lance. Where's Brother Lance? Brother Lance here today, or you take care of his mom? Take care of his mom. He's our science teacher. That's our signature signers. And so that way, Brandon and I can't take any money. Only they can. Only they can write checks. So you see, there's this big disconnect. So go into the bank, and there's these four check signers. Well, there's one of my friends I'd love to see saved. He does wood floors. He does the wood floor down here in our gym. If you've seen it, it's beautiful. He redoes it every year for us. He has seven sons, one of the sweetest guys in the world. But there's not a place on him that's not tattooed. No place. So it looks scary. And I love Danny. And Danny came into the office and, you know, there's a Bible verse that says that we're not to keep a laborer's money overnight in the book of Leviticus. How many of you know that verse? What that means is if you owe somebody, you better pay them. And if they want it now, you don't say come back tomorrow. Well, Danny came by to get his check, $1,750. I went down, got the secretary out, wrote the check. Brian signed it. And he's been signing checks for a year. Goes down to the bank, goes into the bank. And, you know, bankers are a little stuffy. You know what I'm saying? They get off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No, I'm kidding with you. But, you know, you go in there, and the bank goes in. And so he goes into the bank, and they look at it, and they check it out. And they say, look at him, look at that. And look at this, and wait a minute. So they go calling around and can't find Brian's signer's statement. that he's a regular signer. So they sent Danny away. Said, sorry, but we can't pay you. About kill me. I called Danny and said, Danny, I'm so sorry. I said, you come back. Let me make a few phone calls. So I called the vice president of the bank. And then I called the next person. I called four or five people. I said, I'll be there in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. Because you didn't treat somebody right, and I know why. Because he's tattooed head to foot. They get treated the same as Brandon does. Prejudice is wrong in any spot. Well, you know what? They looked at the lepers right on the way by. It doesn't say not a one person said thank you. You know what? If we're not careful, we'll take all the blessings and not do well. We'll not tell our parents thank you. We'll just take our clothes and our bed and our food and enjoy it and expect it. We'll not tell our boss thank you for the job. We'll go on and on and on. And all I'm trying to say to you is that we don't do well in a lot of areas. We can get bitter and say, well, they don't deserve this. And they don't deserve that. This whole city didn't treat these four men right. And they forgot all of their feelings and said, it's empty. Come eat. And waved a big old lamb bone up there with them. And man, they look, it's good. And they're eating. Man, they come pouring out of the city. Do we do well? Do we hold grudges? These four men didn't. If you're holding against somebody something, you ought to come and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not doing well today. Forgive me. These four lepers did that. They forgot they were outcasts and tried to help. Number two, they got great treasures and didn't get selfish. That's one of the hardest things of being an American. We don't realize how much we have. Till you go to another country. Till you go to a third world country. And then you realize, I am filthy rich. Don't let it get to your heart. Don't get selfish. These men didn't. They had nothing. The Bible says they went and hid. We don't know how many tents they went to, but we know it took a few hours. And then pretty soon they looked at each other. Notice the wording. And I like this. Notice what it says in verse number 9. Then they said one to another. It was Bob to Tom to Bill to, it was all four of them. They looked at us and said, we're not doing the right thing here. It's time that we as Christians say, you know, we're not doing the right thing here. We ought to be more concerned about others. You find somebody that needs a job, we ought to be concerned about them and try to help them. We ought to be concerned. Now, I'll tell you what I want to do this morning. All the deacons this morning. We do this whenever we hear about it. All the deacons this morning, I'd like for you to be at the back at the end of the service and get offering placed. And if you don't mind, church family, if you could put $1 or $2 in on the way out, it'll go to the families that I know of three of them that don't have jobs in our church. And I'd like for us to help them. Okay? So not one penny will do anything. We'll just split it in three ways and write three a check. If it's $3, it's going to be more than that because I'm going to put more than that in it. But if it's $3, we'll split it up. You don't have to give. You don't have to. But there have been times when people are in need. And I tell you what, without a job, we could say, well, they ought to have been saving money back. Yeah, you know what? We all should save money back, shouldn't we? But how many of you know what it means then when things come up? So let's be helped. It's one of the ways we do not well. Let's do well this morning. Okay? You can come forward and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want any bitterness. I don't want any selfishness. But then, lastly, I don't want to put any priorities that are wrong. Lord, help me to relook at my priorities. What are your priorities this morning? Is it all about the Pittman family alone? Or is it about the needs of others? I trust and I plead with you with all of your heart to pray for Jimmy Butler's eye to restore its sight. I don't know what God has in mind, but I just choose to think that if hundreds and hundreds of people started shaking heaven and saying, Lord, would you please, that God would do something. He's doing it with Mark Frelick. How many of you heard of somebody in intensive care for 2.5 months and get out? I haven't, but I believe the Lord's going to do it. But we do not well when we get our priorities out of whack and we just think about ourselves and we're not going to pray for this person and pray for that person and try to meet this person. You see somebody that's new in our church, go make them feel at home like they've been here for 100 years. Our Savior is a great Savior. And nobody wants to listen if we're not woman friendly. A man that had friends must show himself friendly. I look at this passage and I think we ought to go tell people. Notice what he says. Look in verse 9. He's now therefore come that we may go and tell. I think you got to go and tell. I think you got to do what you can. And so I was thinking about, somebody that did what they could. In 1968, Pat Brady was a chopper pilot in Vietnam. There were two Vietnamese soldiers. They were in a firefight for their lives. Not Americans, Vietnamese. And he said, I'll go get them. He went in his chopper, went in, shot up, got back, got the two men out. Another mission came up. That day, January the 6th, 1968, he flew four missions. He had to get four helicopters. They're all shot up. This one got shot out from under him. He got another one shot out from under him. A hole blown right through it. And at the third time, he could have gone back and said, I don't know. Look, I've done my duty. Look at them three choppers sitting over there. And they said, there's another six guys. And they're going to die. And he says, give me that chopper over there. It was brand new. He got in that chopper. And he went and got six more that day. He saved 51 soldiers. He lost four choppers. And they went to those four choppers and they started counting bullet holes. You know how many bullet holes were in the four choppers? 400. And when what he did got back, they said, we're going to give you the Congressional Medal of Honor because we don't have many men that do well like you. You know what? I think God's looking for some men and women that do well like that. They just keep going and going and going and doing what's right when others don't. They keep going when others won't. They just keep putting the Lord first and doing well. Today, are you doing well? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of Imitation Hymn. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Would you come to me this morning? I want to help you get that settled for all eternity. I want to help you get it all settled. Would you do that? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I'll help you with that. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've got a little animosity in my heart towards someone. Why don't you come to this altar and just give it over to the Lord? Forgive them. Maybe you've gotten a little bit selfish, like I noticed me this morning. Why don't you just come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would help me to think about some other people. Maybe you haven't prayed very much for some of these people, your neighbor or friends at work. You come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe you haven't told anybody in the last year, 5 years, about the Lord. Why don't you say, I'm going to go and tell. We serve a great God. We're going to have a word of prayer. Maybe you're here and you need to be a part of our church. You feel like the Lord's calling you here. I encourage you to step right up out of your seat in just a moment. Come down to the front. We'd love to have you. Let's have a word of prayer. And then we're going to stand to our feet. And if you need to come and talk to the Lord, would you forget anybody else who's in the room and let's do well this morning. Let's leave here with our consciences clean. I did well this morning. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. We need you this morning. Would you come in a mighty way in this room? Would you convince every heart to do what you want them to do this morning? In your precious name we pray. Amen.